Hi, I'm Daniel Lenzian, host of Western New York Soundstage from Buffalo Rising and Local Matters Studios. Western New York Soundstage is a podcast that looks to explore Western New York's creative economy through a series of conversations with artists, musicians, producers, directors, and authors from Western New York and beyond. On today's episode, I speak with Terry Guest. Terry Guest is an award-winning playwright, actor, director, and producer. His play, The Magnolia Ballet, had its National New Play Network Rolling World Premiere in 2022 and was presented at Alleyway Theater and has since gone on to win two Jeff Awards, the National New Play Network Best American Play Award, and was featured on NPR. His most recent play, Oak, another Rolling World Premiere, will again be presented at Alleyway Theater October 24th through November 15th, 2025. Tickets are available at alleyway.com and in the show notes. In this interview, Terry and I talk about inspiration, process, and calling your mother after seeing Oak at Alleyway. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Terry. Terry Guest, thank you so much for chatting with me today. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. I always like to start these interviews by asking, is there a story from your youth that relates to what you do now?
Oh, okay. Wow. So the first time that I ever did a play, I was probably 14 years old. And keep in mind, I was always running around singing and acting and doing plays in my living room, but I didn't really know what theater was. I didn't grow up going to the theater or watching the theater. So I joined a class called musical theater in high school. And I didn't know what musical theater was, but I had gone to the opera in fifth grade on a field trip. And I thought, that seems pretty cool. And in this class, the first thing that we did was a musical theater review with a bunch of different songs. And I auditioned and did not get a solo. I was devastated. The only thing that I did get is during a song from Hair, I was supposed to walk across the stage. I had my little like afro on and my 1960s outfit. And I was supposed to walk across the stage, sit stage right, and then do some like swaying choreography. And the night of the show, I walk on stage and I don't know what came over me, but it's like the audience was there and the lights were there. And I threw up a black power fist, you know, just adding a little character. Uh-huh. And the audience applauded and laughed. And I did get in trouble, but I left that moment thinking, okay, I see how this works. You know, I like the way this feels, that up here, I can do whatever I want and nobody can stop me.
I love that story. That's fantastic. I mean, this kind of segues to my next question, which is, you know, you're a multi-hyphenate artist. You're an actor, you're a producer, you're a writer, you do all of these things. Which one came first? Was it performing?
It was performing, yes. I mean, like I said, I would perform in my living room. So that certainly came first. But also, I would force my siblings and all of their friends to be in plays that I was directing for my parents when I was a child. So I think I was always writing short stories and plays. And so honestly, they all are the same thing for me, and that thing is storytelling.
So as a performer, I know you recently performed in your own work at the wake of a dead drag queen. What is it like performing in your own work, and how does performing in your own work affect your writing practice?
Performing in my own work is something that is so difficult and fun and innate. I don't perform in all of my plays, but the ones that I choose to perform in, I have made that choice because there are some deeply connected, personal, artistic statement that goes beyond just performing or just writing that needs to combine both of those artistic interests that I have. So it's funny, I mean, it's not more difficult for me than performing in something that I didn't write. And it's not more difficult than writing something that I'm not acting in. it just is a different kind of difficult.
That's very fair. That's very fair. Well, audiences might remember your work from Magnolia Ballet at Alleyway Theater. And that was part of the Rolling World Premiere System, which is something I want to talk about in a little bit. But I'm just wondering, like, audience who saw that play, who loved that play, who remember that play, can you talk a little bit about the life after Alleyway, right? So this was sort of one of the places that play has been. Where is Magnolia Ballet now? Is it being produced? Where is it? What happened to it after we saw it at Alleyway?
I'm so thankful that I can say that the play is still being produced. It would be really embarrassing if I was like, yeah, after Alleyway, and it never saw the light of day again. Thankfully, the play is still being produced. There was just a production in Berkeley of the play. And it also just got licensed with theatrical rights worldwide.
Congratulations.
Which is very exciting. Thank you. So it will be published. I will be getting 10 free copies in the mail any day now. I'm very excited. I'm sure that my mom will be thrilled to receive that in the mail.
That's so funny. Well, Magnolia Ballet, I'm so glad that it does have a life, and I'm so glad it is being published, because it was an incredibly deep and rich theatrical experience. It was thought-provoking, funny, sad, surprising, full of meaning. And this seems to be kind of something that I can recognize sort of about all of your plays and all of your writing. They're all so multi-layered and multi-textured. I'd love to ask, where does your inspiration come from? And I mean that like on a macro level, but also like micro level. Like, are there themes you're always working with? Or are there little things that inspire you? Where does the inspiration for your work come from?
So I have a couple answers for this. I think the biggest answer is that it comes from history and my family. So the history bit, I'm just a history nerd, and I have so many parts of history that I'm super fascinated with. Everything from like the 1740s in Georgia for enslaved people and that specific experience to televangelist in the 1980s, big hair Reagan 80s, mm-hmm. and everything in between. And so I'm always kind of doing research about random things, and sometimes a particular historic moment or idea will stick. And then my family is a huge one. I am often writing and sort of like very loosely autobiographical. I mean, you know, as autobiographical as a story about ghosts and monsters can be. Mm-hmm. But Oak is an example of this. Oak to me is a pretty autobiographical story that when my parents saw it, they were like, I know exactly what you're talking about. And other people might not, it might not be quite so clear. And then more sort of specifically, I guess, I'm really inspired by music. I'm inspired by movies. I love movies. I watch a lot of movies. I'm inspired by musical theater and discovering their old musicals that were flops or that people have kind of forgotten. Mm-hmm. And just kind of like learning about people that to be geniuses, reading Tennessee Williams's quote lesser work, mm-hmm. is something that is always so fun to me. I'm inspired by food, mm-hmm. and I love going to good restaurants. And I love, because of my work, I often get to kind of travel around the country and go to places that I didn't, you know, I couldn't have expected that being a playwright would mean that I would get to spend a few days in Buffalo, New York, for example. So I'm really inspired by going to new cities and trying the food there and meeting the people and going to the nearest gay bar. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah.
Well, I'd love to know. I teach at a college, and sometimes my students listen to this, and I think that I would love for them to hear this answer. Like, what is your process like? Is it linear? Is it nonlinear? Or is it collage-like? Do you know where you're going to start and know where you're going to end? Is it different for every piece? Could you tell us a little bit about your process?
So the first part is what I will call the like standing in the shower phase, which is just, it could last anywhere from 2 weeks to years of me just standing in the shower going, wouldn't it be cool if, like, wouldn't it be interesting? Or, you know, like, yeah, I gotta do a play where this happens at the end someday. Like, how does that happen? And at some point, when I have a combination of one of these kind of like interesting ideas that mixes with a more concrete, like, oh, I want to write about grief, or I'm going through something in my life and I really need to write about capitalism or whatever it is that I'm experiencing, or like how the internet makes me feel. Then it's like, okay, now we kind of have something that could turn into a play. So then the next step is figuring out, I mean, this is going to get maybe a little inside baseball perhaps,
but sure.
Sort of figuring out like, okay, I kind of have an idea for a play. Let's say it's going to be, like I mentioned, it's going to be in the Reagan 80s and it's going to be about grief and a televangelist. Mm-hmm. Cool. Mm-hmm. Now I have to figure out, who do I want my protagonist to be? And when I say protagonist, I'm talking about the character whose story arc illuminates the themes of the story. So not necessarily the main character. They are often the same thing, but not always, right? Mm-hmm. So who's my protagonist? What are their external wants? What are their internal wants? And then I have to know what happens to them at the end. And I have to make sure that what happens to them at the end illuminates whatever it is that I want to talk about. So I'm talking about grief and I want to explore like how you know, no matter how much you love someone, you have to let them go. Whatever. I'm just making this up off the top of my head.
Sure. Yeah.
And it is not until I know what that ending is that I will start.
Wow.
So again, yeah, it can take me years sometimes before I know. But then when I know, I can write, I write in chronological, or, you know, not chronological, but I write like in order from scene one, scene two, scene three, all the way through the play, and usually pretty quickly.
Thank you so much for your generosity in that answer, right? Like, that was really, really kind of you to sort of take us through your process. And I'm sort of laughing to myself because, like, what better place than a podcast to talk about sort of insider baseball with the theater, right? Like, like it's like the format is sort of made for like the long form kind of insider baseball conversation. But thank you very much for answering that question with the depth that you brought to it. You have a kind of a relationship with Alleyway Theater, which is located in Buffalo, New York, at on Main Street, and they produce world premiere and new plays. Can you talk about the importance of theaters that produce new plays and why it's so important for an artist like yourself?
Yeah, well, I mean, I believe that theater is something that has always been vital and will always be vital, and storytelling is something that's always vital and will always be vital. However, theater as an industry that is interesting and exciting to people is not guaranteed. At one point, theater was a new technology. People coming together and experiencing story in this particular way. And it is no longer a new technology. I mean, honestly, film is, the way things are moving so quickly, film's been around for 100 years and film is already like, nah.
Yep.
You know, we're moving on to something else. Frankly, it's happening. It's like, even these tech giant companies, it's like YouTube is the biggest thing right now, but it will not be for long. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's so important for theaters to be producing new work so that we can continue to remind people why sitting together in the dark, experiencing the human condition in front of us, still has the power to surprise and scare and, you know, bring empathy in a way that is unique to all these other things. Like I said, I love movies. So this is not saying like theater is better than movies. That's not my point. But my point is that they are unique.
No, I want to underscore that too, because I think that with your work, from my limited experience of it, but from my experience of it and the things that I remember from it, I love that you're saying that you love movies, because from the research I've done about your work and seeing kind of the incredible plays that you create, there's kind of an inherent theatricality to it. And I know I'm going a little insider baseball here when I say that, but I'm wondering if you could speak about, like, I think one of the things that really is incredible about theater is that we're able to kind of see and do things that maybe wouldn't work on film, or maybe we would say, oh, I don't buy that in film, but sort of it can exist or it can occur, or there's a live experience that happens with a theater that we don't get in film. And I feel that live experience with your writing. I'm excited to see Oak, because I feel from what I know about it that it has that sort of, like, this could only happen in the theater, it can only happen live. Can you maybe talk a little bit about that in your writing?
Yeah, I can't wait for you to see Oak.
Yeah.
I really, really love the play so much. So I'm from the South. I'm from Georgia. And I grew up going to Southern storytelling festivals. And this was such a huge influence and remains a huge influence on the way that I create theater, because, I mean, we would be sitting there watching these old Appalachian men tell these 30-minute Appalachian folk tales with nothing, no set, no lights, no music, just them sitting on a stool. And they would have the audience enraptured. Or a lot of, you know, I learned so many African-American folk tales just from, like, a woman and a drum and a microphone, and that's it. And she's performing for 30 minutes or an hour. And it's like, so this idea of, like, all you need to do to make theater is an audience and a story and someone brave enough to stand up and say, I'll tell it tonight, really fuels the work that I make. So I love to use these sort of, like, ancient theatrical art forms, like puppetry, like mask work, like dance, like song, to highlight what is special about theater. And one day I will make a film. I have not done it yet. But when I do that, I will utilize the history of film to highlight what's special about that medium.
Yeah. Well, we've mentioned it a little bit in this interview, and we're sort of both sharing our mutual excitement about it. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about Oak?
Yeah. Oak is a spooky play about three kids who are being hunted by a mysterious monster. The question, however, is this monster mythology? Is this monster a real monster? Or is this monster something much scarier and simpler, which is just a man? It is a play that it's happening right now in Chicago. And it is really, really exciting audiences in a way that I think, well, first off, because it's fun and it's funny and it's scary, so that's fun, but also it has real commentary about the experience of being a Black child in America. And I think it's funny, so many people have compared it to Jordan Peele, which is a huge compliment.
Yeah.
And to Get Out specifically, which it is nothing like that at all, but I'll take the compliment. But I really think it has that sort of, like, fun horror social commentary thing that is just, this is great for October, great for the fall.
This question sometimes is a little unfair, but I love to ask it just because, you know, I love to kind of invite listeners into the conversation. So what do you hope after audiences see Oak that they're talking about on the way home?
I hope that they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't talk right now. I have to call my mother.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. And that'll all make, it's hard because it's a, I don't want to give away any spoilers. It's something that you should absolutely go into blind. And if you are listening to this after you've watched Oak, tell your friends to see the show, but do not tell them what happens.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. That's very exciting for audiences to kind of go in and with that, that sort of, you know, invitation, I guess. That's wonderful. Well, those are my questions, but I always like to end an interview by just asking, is there anything that you feel left unsaid or anything you'd like to share with our listeners before we say goodbye?
If you want to keep up with my work, you can find me on Instagram at Terry Explains It All. I think that it's really scary right now to be an artist, particularly a artist of color, particularly a queer artist or a queer artist of color. And so I think that, you know, if anything that I've said has resonated with you or you're interested in my art, I would really appreciate the support, just keeping up with each other. And if you are a queer artist or an artist of color or a queer artist of color, reach out to me because I would love to keep up with you, because we really have to take care of each other, take care of ourselves, and make sure that we all survive whatever is coming for us together with community. So.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for the generosity of your answers. And it was really great talking to you. And I can't wait to see Oak when it comes to, or when it opens in Buffalo.
Yes, I can't wait to hear your thoughts.
Great, thanks.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Terry. Oak will be presented at Alleyway Theater October 24th through November 15th, 2025. Tickets are available at alleyway.com and in the show notes. This episode was produced by Jessica Marinelli. Sarah Potter engineered this episode. In addition to this podcast, you can check out our local event guides posted bi-monthly on buffalorising.com. Make sure you subscribe to the show. If you like the show, please recommend it to a friend. Thanks for listening to Western New York Soundstage from Buffalo Rising and Local Matters Studios.